Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us at our water cooler chat today. I'm Marissa Reynoso, the marketing manager here, and I'm here with Rich Nelson and Slava Shula from our SMART team. Today, we're going to be talking to you about drug and device combo considerations for clinical trials, because there are a few unique challenges with these kinds of clinical trials. As I mentioned, with me is Slava Shulov, who is part of our SMART team. Slava has over 6 years of experience managing clinical supplies with devices. She also has regulatory experience as well. And Rich Nelson, as many of you know, is our senior manager of global logistics. He works here and he helps us quite a bit. Before we get started, just a few housekeeping items. If you have any questions during this chat, please feel free to put them into the chat box on the toolbar. If you're unable to access that chat box for any reason, you can always text iMessage or WhatsApp me at country code 1-619-613-0808. With that, Slava, I'd like to pass it over to you.
Thank you, Marissa. I hope you're all doing well during these challenging times, and thank you for joining. I'm very happy to see all of you here. I'm going to talk to you about drug and device combo considerations for clinical trials. As we all know, there is an increasing demand of drug and device combo therapies. It's driven by patient convenience, evolving medicine models, and the increasing demand for product intelligent features. Combination products have the potential for significant therapeutic advantages over traditional dosage forms of medicine. They deliver value and convenience for patients, maintain dosage compliance, and provide novel drug delivery therapies for unmet medical needs. The area of combo products is still unique to many regulatory authorities. While the regulatory path, clinical study operation aspect and compliance requirements may be fairly clear in one country, there are no universal templates, procedures, or exacting opinions to follow for harmonized solutions. So let's start with the combination product definition. The current definition of a combination product, according to the CFR, is a product that involves a medical device and or a drug and or a biologic, combining any two of these product categories, and sometimes even all three: drug and device, biological product and a device, drug and a biological product, drug device and a biological product. Let's go over types and examples of combination products. Combination products include the following product types: single entity combination products. These products are composed of two or more components, like drug device, biologic device, drug biologic, or drug device biologic. They are physically, chemically, or otherwise combined or mixed and produced as a single entity. For example, prefilled syringes, transdermal patches, or drug eluting stents. We also have co-packaged combination products. These products contain two or more separate products packaged together in a single package or as a unit, and comprising drug and device products, device and biological products, or as I mentioned, biological and drug products. For example, surgical and first aid kits. Next one is cross-labeled combination products. These products are drugs, devices, or biological products packaged separately that are according to the labeling intended for use only with an approved individually specified drug, device, or bioproduct. Both are required to achieve the intended use, indication, or effect. The first, last one, investigational drug, device, or bioproduct packaged separately that are according to the labeling for use only with another individually specified investigational drug, device, or bioproduct. These products are more complex than their individual components and therefore undergo a more complicated regulatory journey governed by multiple sets of regulations. The regulations applied to a particular combination product depends on its elements and its primary mode of action, and this can make it challenging for regulatory authorities who must agree on the product designation to define a lead review center. Moreover, across the globe, Such classifications are subject to different interpretations. Therefore, it's not surprising that combination products raise complex regulatory policy and review management issues. For a success combination product trial, these are the three steps for sponsors. First, execute a small feasibility study to outline the product's pharmacological effects and validate its performance. Two, run a pilot study in slightly larger sample. And the last one, three, perform a larger pivotal study to show the product's long-term effects. A double-blind, two-arm study in which one arm receives the combination product and the other arm receives the standard of care or placebo. Regulatory and operational challenges. Understanding the global regulatory landscape upfront is very important when developing a product, or you may be missing key factors and not be able to proceed with your combination product testing. The development of combination products is an area that is seeing more and more growth in recent years, as many of the larger medical device and pharma companies are looking into developing their products. It's an area that has often remained clouded, as some pharma companies has not realized their candidate actually counted as combination products. And this has happened for both big and small companies. For example, if a big company bought a delivery system product, they didn't always realize it was a device. This points to the need for more awareness regarding the classification of devices. As a result, the drug would be approved, but not delivery, device delivery system. It would require an additional separate trial to approve the device if it's not part of the clinical study from the beginning. So aside from a better understanding, the key challenge for a lot of companies is to establish their development strategy upfront before embarking on their trials. The main area is the regulatory considerations that must be taken into account before beginning any combination product trial. To test the combination product on human, sponsor must first have proof that the device is fit for use on humans through a focus on human factor engineering, human factor studies. This is a key part of combination product development, as to run the full trial, sponsor must first prove that the device is safe to use on humans. This must be done before testing the whole combination product with the drug. Once these preliminary studies are done, sponsor can then begin a first-in-human study. And the last one, to have a vendor to develop your combination product and manage a study. A close and effective working relationship with your CRO and CMO is needed in order for the trial sponsor to have a good understanding of the complex regulatory side of combination trials, as all parties have to understand two sets of regulatory aspects, pharma and medical devices, and in turn need a collaborative cross-training. CRO must be able to handle both the medical device element and the pharmaceutical element. And my favorite topic, kit design, packaging, and blinding challenges. So blinding for combo devices in a double-blind two-arm study. There is a need to have a comparator and placebo that looks like comparator. The solution to this challenge would be conversion of device from active to placebo. Conversion means modification of the commercial or standard of care devices, removing the active element and replacing it with a placebo. Usually, this type of solutions used in inhalers, replacing the aerosol canister with placebo. The next challenge is active and placebo substances in an investigational combination device look different. It could be a different color or a different density of the solution. The common solution for this would be labeling covering the content of the packaging. The next example, an investigational combination device and comparator drug that are visually different. It could be a prefilled syringe and vial, for example. The solution here could be different, more on the operational side. It could be unblinded staff or semi-blinded study with blinded source documents and blinded medical assessment. It could be even cover up during injections between the patient and the medical staff. The next point is special packaging that often used for combination devices. For example, hermetically sealed foil pouches. Inhalers are manufactured sealed in a pouch without labeling on a device itself. The solution for clinical trial would be using a peelable secondary labeling on the pouch that is adhered onto the device after its opening. There is also an issue of expiry date that in this case called a use-by date that is counted from the pouch opening and later on added manually on the label aside during usage. Additional point that is often completely neglected during study setup is site returns. It sounds easy, but it's not. There is handling, transport, storage, and destruction of returns that can be subject to special requirements, and this can differ depending on the country. It's important to consider how used devices will be classified and the applicable regulations that will apply. These are also specific regulations regarding the classification and transport of waste between countries. It could make return to depots outside of the country very difficult. For example, a global study with auto-injectors, which can contain both a battery and a contaminated needle. It could be extremely challenging to have all EU returns sent back to one main UK depot due to various country-specific requirements. So alternative destruction arrangements need to be made within some of the EU and sometimes non-EU countries. Contracts with special couriers and destruction facilities need to be organized, and as there are specific licenses required for handling this type of waste. Some standard couriers and destruction companies usually used for clinical supplies are not authorized to handle used devices. They may need to apply and obtain a specific license for handling the used auto-injectors, or you may need to change a courier and destruction company. There's also sharps, bins, and packaging and labeling for transfer that may need to be provided to sites. So the solution to this challenge is to keep in mind to consider device classification and investigate local regulations before setting up and managing site return operation. There is also a need for setting up a separate process for collection of complaint devices. They are shipped separately from used and unused devices that are sent for destructions. Complaint devices might need temperature monitoring, tracking system for error classification. It would require involvement of relevant sponsor departments like QA and engineering or R&D. And the last point I would like to mention is about protocol. The protocol should include reference to all the challenges and solutions. For example, a drug device delivery system should be described and breakdown of multiple drugs in a single dosage form if it's relevant to the clinical study.
We do have a quick question from Keith in our chat window here. He's asking us, what experience does PCI have with blinding for studies performed at home where the placebo and active are visually different? Can you share techniques that were used to ensure blinding, where the dose may need to be measured out by the patient or a caregiver?
That's a very good question that I would have to deep digger, and I would reply later on by email. I would have to check internally what capabilities do we have, as I don't want to give partial answers. That's a great question.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Keith. Keith said thank you.
Thank you for asking questions, Keith. Do we have more questions?
Nope, that's all for now.
Okay, so I guess the stage is yours.
Thanks, Lois. So one of the I just wanted to talk about a couple of additional topics real quick. As you may or may not know, if you've been to water cooler chats that I've hosted before, my role at PCI is to oversee all of our import export activities. So I just wanted to touch on a couple of things as those concepts and the concepts of devices or device studies cross over with each other, where there is some overlap, because the processes are not the same everywhere. And if you miss part of the, if you don't know where the trip points are, and you miss where that overlap might be, you get into with some serious delays in moving your medication and your devices around the world. So the first point is that we're mentioning is the device or delivery system approved in the destination country? This could be a very serious delay if this isn't handled properly. A lot of sponsors, when they're, if they have a proprietary, your medication, your IP is of course proprietary, but if you have a proprietary delivery for that medication that you want used, that has to be factored into your clinical trial authorization in each country. For instance, it has to be factored into your clinical trial authorization if it's not already approved in the country that it's going to. For instance, an inhaler was something that Slava talked about. A metered dose inhaler is a metered dose inhaler. You don't have to worry about the inhaler itself being approved in any given country, because pretty much every given country, they use metered dose inhalers because they're common for a lot of respiratory problems. So really, you only have to worry about your drug in that particular combination. Now, if you've got a delivery device that is unique and proprietary to your drug that you want used at all your investigator sites in all your different countries, that device either has to be part of your CTA for the drug, or it has to be part of a separate CTA just for that device. Because if it's not approved in the receiving country, just like the drug isn't approved, it has to be at some level part of the investigation. So even though you're not doing an investigation of the delivery device has to be included in the concept of the trial itself, because it has to be on import permits, it has to be on import licenses, it has to be acknowledged as being an investigational object for the purposes of regulatory submissions. Are there country-specific imported devices per patient limits? Typically, you have to, when you file your CTA, you have to inform your regulatory agency in that country how many patients you're planning on having. There will be, and in some countries, you have to do calculations of how much drug each patient's going to need. And that's, add maybe 10% to that, and that's all you're able to send into that given country. Turkey is a great example, where you have to calculate out exactly how much drug one patient's going to need. If you're going to have 10 patients, you're allowed to send 10 patients worth of drug and a little bit extra. You have to do the same thing with these devices. And in some cases, you may not even be able to send the number that you want to send all at one time, or in the format that you want to send them in. Argentina is a great example of this. You cannot import a battery into Argentina. So if you have some sort of a device that's being used with your study, even if it's something as simple as a glucose monitor or even an alarm clock to tell the patients when to take their medication, if that's battery operated, you have to take the batteries out before you can send it to Argentina. So there are limits on the number of devices. There are limits on the types of devices that you can take in and out of different countries. If you aren't aware that those hazards or those obstacles could be there, and you ship without being fully having that the full contents of the shipment and the full concepts of the combination device being approved prior to shipping, you end up with serious delays at customs. Well, literally someone has to go down there with a jeweler screwdriver and take all the batteries out of the alarm clocks. Ask me how I know that's how that gets fixed. one of the last things, again, you need to, it's just a tripping point that you should really just keep your head on, your eyes on, because it's not something you would think of normally. But that is if you have multiple drugs in the same dispensing pack. So if you've got an active and a placebo and they're in a blister card, and some of the blister card can be mixed. So you've got two rows of capsules, one row is active, the other row is placebo. When you set that up to export and then subsequently import, you have to break down the contents to say that you can't say you're sending a blister card with 20 capsules. You have to say you're sending a blister card with 10 capsules of active and 10 capsules of placebo. You have to have separate harmonized tariff codes for each one of those things. And you have to have a separate value for each one of those things. That gets even more complicated when you're dealing with devices and dispensing equipment and any sort of ancillary kit, where you might have a needle, a syringe, saline to wash alcohol prep pads to wipe off the patient's arm, all the various things that could go into actually giving the patient the medication. All those things count as a individual device. And if they're not, again, if they're not approved in the country that you're shipping into, they have to be listed as part of your CTA, and they have to be listed individually on your invoice. You can't put, a patient dispensing kit as a generic catch-all name for a box that has 17 different items in it. You have to list out all of those individual items. Each one of those items needs its own tariff code, and each one of those items needs its own value. So if you ship with the, catch-all name of a, ancillary kit, patient dispensing kit, ancillary kit, whatever you want to call it, it gets to customs, and they're going to say, okay, well, what's in here? Now you've got to track down all that information for each one of the items in there while you're already waiting at customs. So again, none of these things are overwhelming or excessively difficult to overcome, with the exception of maybe the first one. If you have a proprietary dispensing device that's not approved in a given country, that could kind of get in the way pretty badly. But the other ones are fixable. They just take time. They cause delays. Of course, any kind of delay has the potential to be patient impacting, and you want to try to avoid that at all times.
Rich, I have a question for you. If we are packaging an oral suspension bottle with dosing oral syringes in a kit, is that considered a combo product? The syringes are commercially available.
I wouldn't consider that. I don't think that would be considered a combo product in the sense that you could use a different syringe to dispense with if you couldn't. Sometimes you could just source them locally in the individual countries. You wouldn't have to use them the exact same syringe everywhere. But if the plan is that everyone's going to use the exact same syringe everywhere and it's going to be included with the drug in the shipment or in the kit, then it does need to be, like I said, on the CTA as a dispensing ancillary as part of the study. So I would call that a combination because it's not unique or proprietary, and you could use something different than that specific thing. So from my perspective, it wouldn't be. I don't know, Slava, if you have
I completely agree with you. If it's just a syringe, it would not be considered as a combo product unless it's a prefilled one.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Okay, everyone, we have a few minutes left. So if you have any questions, feel free to put them into the chat box. I will I would like to share with you our upcoming water cooler chat schedule. In that time, Slava, do you mind advancing a slide, please?
Sure.
So we announced a few new water cooler chats last week, and we had a few additional added this past Monday. Next week, we will be back here with another team member from the SMART team, Neil Fox. He'll be talking about forecasting and clinical kit design considerations. After that, on Thursday, I should mention, next week, the water cooler chat will be on Wednesday, not Thursday. We are going to start moving to a schedule where we have our sessions on Wednesdays and Wednesdays or Thursdays, based on the feedback that we've gotten that for some of our audience members, Thursdays just never work for them. So please do make sure to check the day and in some cases the times as well. But for most of the chats, it will be a Wednesday or Thursday at this time, 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. British Standard Time.
Marissa, August 20th. Marissa, I'm sorry if I could interrupt you real quick. There was a new question in the chat that I just wanted to answer real quickly from Patricia.
Yep.
What is your experience with introducing a combo product mid-trial? Mm-hmm. So that would be really difficult because it would take a protocol amendment, right? If you're going to change something in the way the material is going to be dispensed, if you're going to change something in the way the study is going to be run and the material is going to be dispensed or administered, that would take a pretty substantial protocol amendment. So I can't say I've ever seen that type of situation happen. And it would take that same type of protocol amendment in every country. So you would need to do it in, you know, the US, you need to do it in whatever other countries where you have CTAs on file. Slava, have you ever seen anything like that?
Not exactly like that, but if it's a completely different form of dispensation, I would say in terms of clinical supply, it would mean like setting up a new trial from the beginning. Completely, because you will have to have completely new packaging grants with secondary labeling. You'll have to have new supplies sent to depots and sites. So I would say it's like a new setup.
Yeah. Pretty difficult. And again, I've never actually seen anything like that happen. So thank you for the question, Patricia.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Marissa.
All right. So we will on August 20th, on Thursday, we will have a label text requirements and label strategy water cooler chat. Greg Daly from Citation Labels will be joining yet another member from the SMART team, Christine Wenner, to talk about label text requirements. Some of the things we'll be going over there will be Annex 13 requirements and why using a booklet label for international studies isn't always the right choice. On Wednesday, September 2nd, we will be looking at IRTs, how you can optimize it for clinical supply management. Our partners from Suvoda, Mark Lisi, will be here to answer your questions, along with Laurel Ferenschick, who is another member of our SMART team as well. And then on September 17th and 30th, Neil Fox will be back to talk about early planning and distribution strategy as well. On October 15th, Gavin Morgan will be talking about returns and destruction. And on October 28th, we will be talking about running clinical trials in Israel and beyond, which happens to be where Slava is right now. On November 10th and November 12th, these will be the same sessions. Because our speaker is in Australia, we wanted to make sure to have two sessions, one for North America and one for Asia and Europe. So please, when you sign for them, make sure to note those times. We'll be talking about how we can use Australia to make clinical trials in Asia a little bit more accessible. And then finally, in December 10th, we're going to be looking backwards and forwards at clinical supplies in this new world, how COVID has impacted us and what we can expect with clinical trials. So if you are interested in any of these chats, please go to the URL that's at the top of the slide. You'll have to type it in, pciservices.com/water. Can you advance one more slide, please, Slava?
Of course.
Thank you. If you have missed any of our past water cooler chats, you can always view them at pciservices.com/water-cooler-list. And other than that, thank you so much for joining us today. Slava, Rich, thank you so much for your time. It's always good to learn other aspects of clinical supplies. So have a good day, everyone.
Welcome. Thank you for your time, everybody.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.